Good morning, church. On behalf of our congregation and parish, I would like to welcome all of you worshiping with us this morning. Welcome to those who are worshiping with us for the first time, those who are doing so after a long while, and welcome to our brothers and sisters who are worshiping with us via Zoom, and those who will be listening to our worship service afterwards from our website. I know many people are still away on holiday, so some may be following our service wherever they are. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 74, verses 1 to 3. Why have you rejected us forever, O God? Why does your anger smolder against the sheep of your pasture? Remember the people you purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance whom you redeemed, Mount Zion, where you dwelt. Turn your steps towards these everlasting ruins, all this destruction the enemy has brought on the sanctuary. It's a text that sounds exactly like what is happening today in the Middle East. And we take a moment of silence now as we prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. And our first theme, all people that on earth do dwell, number 63. Gracious and almighty God, as we come before you this morning, we come with hearts that are full of gratitude and awe. We gather here in Newport-on-Tay, Church of Scotland, via Zoom and elsewhere, surrounded by the beauty of your creation, ready to worship and honor your holy name. Just as the people in Antioch of Pisidia eagerly gather to hear your word through Paul and Barnabas, we come with open hearts and minds, longing to hear your voice and be transformed by your truth. We praise you for the power of your word, which draws us closer to you and guides us in our daily lives. You are the source of all wisdom and understanding, and we humbly seek your presence among us. May your spirit move within us, awakening our hearts to receive your message with joy and sincerity. Merciful Father, we acknowledge that we often fall short of the calling you have placed on our lives. Like those who opposed your servants, Paul and Barnabas, we sometimes allow jealousy, pride, and fear to cloud our judgment and hinder our ability to fully embrace your word. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we have rejected your guidance and chosen our own way instead. We confess that we have not always been faithful witnesses of your love and grace. We have missed opportunities to share your light with those around us and have failed to live out the radical love and forgiveness you command us to show even to our enemies. Renew our hearts, Lord, so that we may reflect your love and truth in all that we do. Strengthen us to be bold and faithful in sharing the good news of your salvation with the world. May we, like the early believers, be filled with the joy and peace of your Holy Spirit. We lift these prayers to you as we pray in the words our Savior gave us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All things bright and beautiful, our next hymn, 137.
Thank you.
morning, children. Good morning. How are you today? All good? It's nice weather today, isn't it? Is it a nice weather today? No sunshine. Some days have really been sunny and good, and I hope we have more of such days. So what have you been up to? You did? Okay. I didn't hear that. But you've definitely said something that is nice. That's nice. What have you been up to? Are you enjoying the summer holiday?
Yes.
You just came back yesterday.
Yeah, I want to swim.
Oh, that's nice. I'm going to ask one of you to take the children's address today. You seem to really be, you really want to speak. Can anyone do the children's address today? Okay, beautiful. Now, have you ever heard a story? Somebody told you a story which was so beautiful that it changed the way you saw things. Just some very nice story that changed your mind. I don't know how best I can put that, but have you ever heard a really nice story that moved you? Or read it? Or have you even read it or heard it? Anyone? Okay. It's a difficult question. Now let me tell you a story. There were two friends called Paul and Barnabas, and it's a story in the Bible in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. So there were two friends called Paul and Barnabas. Or say Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. Two friends. And these two friends were going around from town to town or city to city or village to village talking to people about Jesus Christ. And their aim was to make people understand that Jesus Christ loves them and that Jesus Christ can change their lives or could change their lives. And at one time, they came to a certain city called Antioch. And there were so many people who came out to listen to them because these people, these two friends, spoke very well. But in that crowd, there were some people who listened to them and loved what they were saying and were willing to believe them and even to change their own lives to follow Jesus Christ. But there were others who were not so happy and they rejected what they were saying. So they were trying to cause confusion and to persuade others not to listen to them. Now, what this story means is that people respond to the good news of Jesus Christ in two ways, or in more than one way. For some people, they are happy, and the Word of God makes meaning in their lives, and it helps them to change and to overcome certain difficulties or challenges that they have. And the Word of God also helps us to be good people, to be good children, to do the things that are good, to love one another, to transform us. But for other people, they say no, they reject it. Now, which one is good? When you listen to the Word of God, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Or what should you do? What should be your response when you listen to the Word of God or to the teachings that we give you every Sunday? What should be your response? No answers today? Now, every week we have children's address. And I know that when we do children's address, we tell you what you should do. So, the right response is for us to do what the Bible tells and what we learn in church. If you come to church on Sunday and you are told that fighting with your brother or with your sister is not good, and you go back and still fight them, what are you doing? It means you have rejected the word of God. Or if you come to church and we talk to you about God's word, and we tell you to love one another, and you go back home or in school and you don't love your friends, it means you have rejected the word of God. The word of God is supposed to transform us. And as Christian children, we hope that your presence and influence will be felt wherever you are. You must be good in whatever you do. You must be loving. You must be caring. And you must also use what you learn from the church to be a good influence on the people you meet and on your friends. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for the power of your word that can transform and change our lives, especially when we accept it and when we believe it. We thank you for the witness of Paul and Barnabas and others of old who brought the gospel message to people. And we thank you even for the responses. But we pray, O God, that we would be willing always to accept the gospel and to live it out in ways that bring transformation to others. And we pray for our children as they come to church every week, that they too will continue to learn and be willing, O Father, to be positive influences in their communities. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, Come Children, Join and Sing, 185.
First reading this morning, the Old Testament reading, is taken from the book of Zechariah, chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. In the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. The Lord was very angry with your forefathers. Therefore tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Do not be like your forefathers, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Where are your forefathers now, and the prophets? Do they live forever? But did not my words and my decrees, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, overtake your forefathers? Then they repented and said, the Lord Almighty has done to us what our ways and practices deserve, just as he determined to do. And the second reading, the New Testament reading, is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 34 to 39. The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. So it is stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the laws of Moses. Amen, and thanks be to God for his readings of his holy word. We continue the service by singing hymn number 543, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness.
Thank you.
us pray. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on your word, we ask for the light of your Holy Spirit to illuminate our hearts and minds. Just as Paul and Barnabas brought the gospel to the people of Antioch, revealing its power and promise, we pray that you open our eyes to see the truth of your message and the depth of your love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, think with me this morning on the theme, the transforming power of the gospel. The transforming power of the gospel. Let me begin with a story about my friend Dave, who recently decided it was time to get in shape. He bought the latest fitness equipment, downloaded all the apps, and even signed up for a personal trainer. Excited to start his journey, Dave walked into the gym, ready to transform his life. The trainer greeted him warmly and said, "All right, Dave, let's start with a simple question. What's your fitness goal?" Without missing a beat, Dave replied, "I want to eat pizza without guilt." Dear friends, isn't that relatable? Dave wanted transformation, but on his own terms. Just like how many of us approach our faith. We want the peace that comes with trusting God, but without letting go of our worries and fears. We hold on to control, hoping for change without truly embracing the transformative power of God's word. In our journey of faith, we all aspire to live with a deep and abiding trust in God, not merely as a comforting mantra, but as a true way of life. Yet in today's world, many believers find themselves grappling with anxiety that feels relentless and overwhelming. Like a broken record, these worries can play over and over in our minds, robbing us of peace. For some, there is a struggle to believe in the transformative power of God's word in their lives. Meanwhile, others, including atheists, deny the existence of a higher power that can satisfy humanity's deepest longings. Amid these challenges, Christians are left asking important questions. Where do we turn when anxiety takes hold? And how can those of us who serve as biblical counselors help guide anxious hearts back to a renewed trust in the Lord? The book of Acts offers profound insights into these questions, vividly capturing the early spread of the gospel and its impact on diverse communities. In Acts 13:42-52, we see Paul and Barnabas courageously proclaiming the message of salvation. Their message elicits varied responses. Some embrace it with joy, while others react with hostility. And these diverse reactions to the gospel of Jesus Christ are still evident today, as countless individuals continue to find transformation and fulfillment through its message. Reflecting on the transformative power of the gospel is crucial, especially in a world filled with competing ideologies and beliefs. Ayaan Hirsi Ali's journey is a striking modern parallel to these biblical events. Part of her story was published by the Intellectual Takeaway, Feeding Minds, Pursuing Truth, on 17th of May 2024. an intellectual heavyweight, Ali is a New York Times best-selling author, has served in the Dutch Parliament, and counts Richard Dawkins among her friends. Once a devout Muslim who wore a burqa and followed the teachings of the Muslim Brotherhood, she later embraced atheism, a change that brought about death threats and required her to have around-the-clock security. Now, in her powerful testimony, "Why I Am Now a Christian," she shares her journey from Islam to atheism and finally to Christianity. In one of her essays published by Unheard newspaper in November 2023, Ayan Hersey Ali describes how Bertrand Russell's lecture, "Why I Am Not a Christian," initially led her to atheism. For her, atheism was a refuge from the fear-based doctrines she experienced in Islam. The Muslim Brotherhood, which had a profound influence on her early life, presented a version of religion that left no room for personal exploration or dissent. Atheism seemed to offer liberation from religious dogma and from fear. But as time went on, Ali found atheism unsatisfying. It failed to provide meaningful answers to life's purpose, leaving a void that was filled by irrational ideologies. In her search for truth, she recognized that the Western world faces significant threats from authoritarianism, global Islamism, and ideological extremism. She concluded that secular tools alone are insufficient to address these challenges, and that the Judeo-Christian tradition offers a unifying moral and cultural framework essential for defending Western civilization. Ayan Hersey Ali's journey to Christianity was driven by a profound realization. The teachings of Christ offer a comprehensive and compassionate worldview that addresses life's deepest existential questions while promoting freedom, dignity, and reason. Unlike any other belief system, Christianity provides a compelling narrative and a supportive community that is capable of countering the divisive forces threatening our world today. And one pivotal influence on Ali's journey was reading Dominion by Tom Holland, a book I have also read with interest. And this book illustrates how many freedoms we consider secular, such as the freedom of the market, of conscience, and of the press, actually find their roots in Christianity. Reflecting on this, Ali observed, I quote, "Freedom of conscience and speech is perhaps the greatest benefit of Western civilization. It does not come naturally to man. It is the product of centuries of debate within Jewish and Christian communities. It was these debates that advanced science and reason, diminished cruelty, suppressed superstitions, and built institutions to order and protect life, while guaranteeing freedom to as many people as possible. Unlike Islam, Christianity outgrew its dogmatic stage. It became increasingly clear that Christ's teaching implied not only a circumscribed role for religion as something separate from politics, it also implied compassion for the sinner and humility for the believer. For Ali, embracing Christianity also fulfilled a deeply personal need for spiritual solace. She realized that life without any spiritual solace was unendurable, indeed very nearly self-destructive. Atheism, while intellectually appealing, failed to answer the fundamental question of life's meaning and purpose. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ has power to transform lives. The gospel is inherently transformative. In Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas preach the message of salvation in Antioch of Pisidia, and the response is mixed. Many Gentiles joyfully accept the gospel, recognizing it as the truth that brings freedom and hope. In contrast, some Jewish leaders, driven by jealousy, reject the message and stir up opposition. Similarly, Ayan Hirsi Ali found that the teachings of Christianity offered her a transformative path out of the fear and dogma she experienced in Islam and the emptiness she found in atheism. The gospel has the power to change lives. It offers a new identity and purpose grounded in the love and grace of God. So how do I apply this text to our time? Ayan Hirsi Ali argues that the Judeo-Christian tradition provides a unifying moral framework that is essential for addressing the challenges facing Western civilization today. Grateful for the freedom and safety she now enjoys in the West, Ali identified three powerful forces aligning against a civilization she now loves: the authoritarianism of regimes like China and Russia, global Islamism, and woke ideology. She reasoned that human tools were insufficient to push back the tide of these threats. We cannot fight off these formidable forces unless we can answer the question, what is it that unites us? The response that God is dead seems insufficient. So too does the attempt to find solace in the rules-based liberal international order. The only credible answer, says Ali, I believe, lies in our desire to uphold the legacy of the Judeo-Christian tradition. Dear friends, Acts 13, verse 52 highlights the joy and perseverance of the new believers who, despite persecution, were filled with the Holy Spirit. Their faith and resilience demonstrate the enduring power of the gospel to inspire and sustain believers through adversity. Today, as in the early church, the gospel of Jesus Christ offers a compelling story that addresses the deepest questions of existence and provides a foundation for justice, compassion, and truth. In a world facing ideological extremism and cultural fragmentation, the gospel stands as a beacon of hope and unity. The story of Acts 13 reminds us of the transformative power of the gospel and the varied responses it elicits. Ayan Hirsi Ali's journey shows the impact of encountering the message of Christ. Dear friends, the recent unrest in England since the Southport attack underscores the urgent need for a message of love and of reconciliation. Christianity, with its teachings on compassion, forgiveness, and community, offers a powerful response to the fear and hatred driving these events. The story of Ayan Hirsi Ali exemplifies how embracing the gospel can lead to personal and societal transformation, providing hope and healing in a world that is torn by conflict. As Christian people, we are called to be agents of peace and love. sharing the transformative power of the gospel with those around us, and working towards a more just and compassionate society. In doing so, we can help create an environment where all people are valued and respected, fostering unity and understanding in the face of division. As I bring this to a close, can I ask you to join me in reflecting on where each of us might be in our faith journey? Are you someone who is exploring and questioning, unsure if God is real? Perhaps you attend church but find it hard to fully believe that Christ died for you and that he loves you deeply, or that there is a life beyond this one where he promises to raise us with glorious bodies. Or maybe you are a believer who trusts in God's presence but still has doubts about how he can work in your life or what he can accomplish through you. In Acts 13, we see the diverse reactions to Paul and Barnabas' message. Some embrace it with joy, while others rejected it. This is a powerful reminder that we all respond to the gospel in different ways and at our own pace. No matter where you find yourself today, know that God's love is constant and his invitation to you remains open. He is patient and ready to meet you wherever you are, guiding you toward a deeper understanding and experience of his transforming power. Let us open our hearts to the possibilities that faith in Christ can bring and trust that he will lead us on this journey, offering hope and renewal every step of the way. Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for the transformative power of the gospel that speaks to our deepest questions, offering us freedom, dignity, and purpose. In a world filled with competing ideologies and beliefs, help us to recognize the enduring truth of your word and the hope it brings to those who embrace it. Fill us with the joy and perseverance of the early believers, who despite persecution were strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And may we be bold in sharing your gospel, confident that it will accomplish your purposes and draw many into a life of peace and joy in your presence. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we offer these gifts, the gift of money and ourselves, as a token of our love and devotion to you. We pray that you would use them to further your kingdom here on earth. May there be a blessing to those in need, a source of hope and healing, and a means to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the enduring power of your word that continues to be preached throughout the world. We are grateful for the hearts that long to belong to your kingdom and for the impact your word is having in transforming lives. We pray that more and more people will develop a deep hunger for your word and seek to know you more intimately. May your truth continue to spread and bring hope to those who hear it. Lord, we lift up our church community and families to you. We ask that you continue to minister to our needs and fill us with strength and courage as we serve you without fear. Thank you for the dedication and love we show to one another and to those around us. We also thank you for the members of our church who are away on holiday. May their time be one of refreshment and rejuvenation, allowing them to return with renewed energy and spirit. We pray for the United Kingdom and for Scotland, where we are. We ask that you bless those who lead us with wisdom and discernment as they make decisions that affect our lives. Guide them to lead with justice, compassion, and integrity, and may they seek to serve the common good. We trust in your sovereign will to direct our nation towards peace and prosperity. Father, we come before you with heavy hearts for Great Britain and the rest of Europe as they grapple with ideologies that sow division and disrupt the peace you desire for us all. We lift up the families of the young girls who tragically lost their lives in Southport and pray for comfort and healing in their time of grief. Amidst the unrest and violence, we ask for your wisdom and guidance to fill the hearts of leaders and communities. Help us to see each other through your eyes of love and compassion, transcending fear and prejudice. May your message of peace and reconciliation guide us to bridge divides and foster unity, as exemplified in Ayan Hersey Ali's journey to embracing the gospel's transformative power. We pray for the courage to stand against hatred and misinformation, and to be agents of your love and healing in a world longing for hope. Compassionate Father, we bring before you those who are sick, sad, lonely, and bereaved. Comfort them with your presence and grant them healing and peace. May they find strength in your love and assurance in your promises. Surround them with supportive communities that can share their burdens and offer encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather today in worship and fellowship. We are grateful for your presence and the blessings we have received through your word and spirit. As we go forth into the new week, we ask for your guidance and blessing on our work and endeavors. Help us to live out our faith with love and integrity, reflecting your light to those we encounter. May we honor you in all that we do and remain steadfast in our commitment to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. If you are able, please stand, and together let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Let's bring our service to a close, singing 3520 for 1,000 tongues to sing. And serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.